Hey, everybody. Jay Young here from King Operating. If you will, go to kingoperating.com, our website, and learn more about the oil and gas business. Every Friday, I do a newsletter, and I do a video that will teach you something about the oil business. And if you want to know something about the oil business, send me a question, and I'll go over those on our Friday newsletter. So kingoperating.com, learn more about our business, and get involved.
The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Welcome to the Jay Young Show, and we have flipped the mic yet again on Jay Young, our host. We want to say Happy New Year. My name is Kim Francis, and I produce the Jay Young Show, but today we're actually hosting it because we have really exciting news for you. Jay, welcome to your show.
Hey, thanks, Kim. Once again, I appreciate you inviting me on. Thank you.
And we do want to say, we never say this on camera, but we will say we want to thank so much Derek, our producer, because he does so much work for us. And so thank you, Derek, in this booth there, and we appreciate everything that you do.
Jeff Crilly.
That's right. Exactly. Everyone here at Real News. So tonight, we are excited to welcome Jay Young to his own podcast, The Jay Young Show. Jay, Happy New Year. It's 2020.
Thank you. It is 2020. That's awesome.
Welcome to your podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me on my podcast.
So we have flipped the mic tonight because we have really exciting news as we start the new year. Jay is officially on Tuesday night. His book, The Upside of Oil and Gas, published by Forbes, has officially launched. It is out in the world. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your help.
It's very
Thanks
exciting.
For all the things you do.
The Upside of Oil and Gas, How the New Model Works and Why It Puts the Traditional Model to Shame is your new Forbes book. And so what I went and thought for tonight that we want to talk about how exciting this project has been for you. We may have authors on there or want to be authors. So I want to dig into the process a little bit. But let's first just let everybody know a little bit about you because they see you interviewing other guests. But let's tell them a little bit about you and kind of some of your goals for 2020.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for having me on, as I mentioned. And Happy New Year. You know, for the book side, you know, Jay Young is I've been in the oil business my entire career. I started out in the stock market business because oil and gas was not good in the mid-80s. Then I got in the oil business in 89, and I've been there ever since 1989. Probably a lot longer than a lot of you were born, right? So we know a lot about it. My family has been in the oil business for over 100 years. My great-grandfather had 12 kids, and if you're a man, you're in the oil business. And if you're a woman, you're married to somebody in the oil business out in West Texas, Cahoma, which is just east of Big Spring, specifically, is where he spent his last years working on that oil field on the south side of Cahoma, on the south side of I-20, I should say. And on the north side is where we have one of our projects. But with oil and gas, you know, it's such a great business, and it's something that, you know, our first project that we had, we got back 100% returns to our clients in less than a year. So it's an extremely fast-paced business. We could have done better if we'd have sold the entire asset at that time. But, you know, what I want people to realize is you buy assets and it's a short term. Is the market correct? Is it the cycles? You know, because everything has cycles.
Cyclical.
Yeah, like the stock market or real estate or oil and gas. What is cycles and when's a good cycle for oil and gas? And we feel like right now is a great time to get into oil and gas. There was an article in Yahoo or Seeking Alpha talking about it's a great time to invest in oil and gas, and we feel the same way. Why? Not just because I say so, but right. Because, you know, the demand is still there. Demand is increasing. We need over 20 million barrels a day in the United States. We need over 100 million barrels of oil in the world every day, every single day. And, you know, right now, rigs count's down 25% in the last year. The turmoil in the Mideast. I mean, there's so many different things
there's a lot of factors. And probably you've seen the cycles. You've seen the highs and the lows. And I know that You'll talk about that in a second because you go into that in your book.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, sitting here today on January 9th, 2020, it is a good time to invest in oil and gas, you say. And absolutely. If somebody says, I've never invested in oil and gas, what does that mean? What does investing in oil and gas mean to someone?
Yeah, well, the traditional model was, you participate in one well, and if you put $100,000 into one well, and it's $1 million well, you own 10% of that well, and you make money as long as that well produces. It'll produce the most in the first 2 or 3 years, and after that, it'll just go into 10 or 12 barrels a day, and then you get little checks here and there. But that's not how you get rich in oil and gas. And that's one thing that we figured out in 2015 in our new model, talking with a good friend of mine that's in the apartment business. Our model is like the apartment business, where you go in, you buy an apartment complex with a good location, and it's run down. You buy it at a good price. You raise some equity to go increase the value add, and then you sell. That's how you realize returns. It's not when you go put your money into one well,
drill one and done. That's
and
not
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and you get checks. It'll go down like this, and then there's no exit, right? There's a tax benefit and there's some income, but there's no exit. So what we do, and what I explain in the book, and I explain a lot about my family in the book. Not only my dad's side that was in the old business for over 100 years, but also on my mom's side. Her dad was an entrepreneur. In Sulphur Springs, Texas, Canning Craft Company, owned a True Value hardware store. And he was more entrepreneurial. So it kind of balances these two, with me being the entrepreneur that I am, and also in the oil and gas business,
right,
with both sides of my parents, So, but what we do is we go in and find an asset that needs some love. I mean, it's been run down. It's they haven't had any new equity lately, or there's new techniques. There could be a new technique, a new fracking technique.
And they haven't done it because they just didn't put any more time into that project.
Exactly. One project we have right now, Larimer County, the guy, is a super guy. I love him to death. But his family just didn't want to add any debt or any partners. So they just sat there and they made money off this for a long time. And then they're saying now, okay, well, I'm almost 70 years old. And I just want to get out of it. So now he's exiting. Which is a great opportunity for us because there's a lot of upside there. We don't want to go all the way with the upside. What we want to do is a short term. I don't know when the oil and gas prices will go down, whether it'll be 2021 or 2022. But I don't really. What I want to do is I want to get in. I want to spend some money increasing the value, and I want to exit. We exit the whole thing. We exit half of it. We get all our clients' equity back, which they like that. And then we have house money.
And that is a unique model, right? I mean, you don't hear that a lot historically for oil and gas.
Not in oil and gas, especially with when somebody can call in. Now, the private equity companies out there that raise $7 billion, I'm doing kind of the same thing they are. They need $200 to $300 million companies, not like ours that's smaller. They're doing kind of the same thing, but they're selling to large public companies. But for an investor to do a 1031 or to have their qualified money, their IRA money, mm-hmm, or to do just an investment, a high net worth where they can have a write-off, there's not another product out there like ours.
Yeah, that's really cool. Let's talk for a minute, because I'd be remiss knowing that that today, Thursday, we've seen the escalation between the U.S. and Iranian tensions with the assassination of the general there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you really being positioned, especially with the book and with Forbes as an expert in this? What is some advice or thoughts that you have on that to give to the audience? Because, are our gas prices going to go up? We haven't seen them go up too much.
No, not yet.
You've seen oil go up.
Yeah.
What is your perspective on what's happening?
Well, you're seeing call it a double-edged sword, because you're seeing, rig count down. Rig count means that there's going to be less supply, because the less wells you drill, the less oil is going to be on the market, right? And with Iranians, if there's any disruption at all overseas and we have less oil, we don't produce everything that we need.
Right.
But our capacity for our refineries in the United States will not allow us. If we produce 20 million barrels, we need 22 million barrels of oil in the United States every day.
That's so crazy. Such a crazy number to think that
million.
We consume in this country 22 million barrels a day.
Every
Oil's
single
not
day.
Going anywhere.
Oil's not, yeah. Yeah. Talking about demand, is, I mean, even if you have a lot of Tesla cars out, which are great cars, I mean, if they continue on, there's got to be a lot of those to take over and have zero oil. You know, but what you're seeing there is you're seeing, even if we did produce 22 million barrels a day, which we don't, but if we did, the refineries here will not allow us to make that oil into gasoline and plastics.
Okay.
So we need foreign oil to come over, okay? Now also too, there's some exporting that we're doing. We're exporting more oil now than we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna continue to export oil, the oil that we don't need here and that we can't have in the refineries here. We have the refined oil that comes from overseas. The oil that we have now that we're exporting is not, we can't use it because it's not, it hasn't gone through the refinery yet. Make sense?
Yeah. So with these tensions, what would be the, I mean, you've seen it all with your, you know, with your cycles and been in the oil and gas business, you said since 1989, yeah. I believe. What is something that's going on, this crisis in Iran, what is it comparable to that you've seen? I mean, you had the Iraqi war. The war with Iraq and so forth, is that kind of similar? And this becomes a cyclical crisis in the world with the oil and war potential?
You know, it is. And because we're not, you know, when we were at $100 oil, we were producing, you know, a lot less oil than we are today. We're producing a lot more oil today than we ever have because of the Permian Basin. You know, it's gone from 2 million to 6 million a day.
Okay.
So we have a lot more oil. But you're also seeing, you know, anytime that a country needs oil and you're having a disruption, it's all because of oil. Because if you just think about it for a second, you think, we need 20 million barrels. You know, you're thinking, okay, 20 million. Okay. Just think about that for a second. How much money is that?
That's a lot of money.
How much money at $50, $60, $70 oil, $80 oil, $90 oil is a million barrels of oil?
Right. Let alone
a day.
20 million.
Every day.
Yeah.
A million. I mean, even $1 million, even a million at a dollar.
Yeah.
Is a lot of money per day, $30 million a month. Just think if oil prices are at 60, which they are today. That is a lot of money. And that's why there's so much, you know, turmoil. And that's why it doesn't take much to pull back some of their oil. Or if they have, they bomb with the drones over, you know.
In Baghdad.
Yeah. I mean, you saw what happened to the price of oil. All it does is take a little bit.
Just a little fleck of something, and then it affects it.
And I'll also quote another, the president of a big public company stated he feels like oil will be at $75 a barrel by the end of this year.
Okay.
Even if we did not have any Iranian disruptions.
If there was no crisis,
OPEC,
he still thinks we'll be at 75.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Oil rigs are down, and we're producing a lot less oil.
Okay.
When you take a lot of that oil off the ground, I mean, these wells come in at 1,000, 2,000 barrels a day. And if you have 20, 30, 40, you know, rigs that are being taken off the market.
It becomes more of a commodity than.
Lot less supply. And if you have a lot less supply, you know, it's like you need.
Yeah.
If you have something and you don't have it, and all of a sudden you'll pay more for it, well, the price continues. And you could see 75. You could see 100 with. Just with our rig count and a disruption or Middle East, you could see $100 oil by the end of the year.
And I don't know, you know, none of us know what's going to happen, but I certainly don't see this conflict going away for a while. There's a lot of turmoil, and I don't know that we're coming into an election year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that it's going to go away. So maybe that is realistic to say that we'll be at $75 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So how do you translate that as an investor or somebody that says, you know, I have an extra 100,000, a couple extra 100,000, 200,000, whatever. It seems like are the higher oil prices go, the better it is to invest. What's kind of from the oil investing 101 for oil and gas? How would you describe that?
We buy assets. We don't just drill one well. We buy assets like an apartment building. And when you see assets that we have, and we're going to go drill more wells to prove it up, we're proving this up for a public company or a larger private company, and we're selling. And when the oil prices are higher, you know, what you do is you say, okay, how much oil is the well going to produce over time, right?
Right.
How much money does it cost to drill and complete that well and put it online? And what's the price of oil? All three of those make up an internal rate of return. And at $50, at $75 compared to $50,
it's a lot.
Oh my gosh. You know, which makes it, it makes more wells worth more money.
Okay.
And there's other formations, I won't get into all this, but there's other formations in there too that may not be economic at $50, but they are at $75, oh my gosh.
They become very, very popular.
So instead of selling, you know, 200 wells, future wells that they can develop, because that's what they want. They want to say, hey, we got 20 wells out here that, that King drilled, and we like it. It's a good project, 20 wells, but we can drill 100 wells in the future. They're going, oh, okay, we'll give you, you know, $50 million.
Okay.
You know, but Kim, that zone that is as additional zones that are more economic at $60, $70, $80 a barrel, at 100, they're wildly economic, right?
Right.
Which is great news, because then they'll go, I can drill 200 or 250 wells.
So that becomes really advantageous for what you're doing with your model as an investor, because then as the demand becomes higher, oil prices go higher, demand goes down, or the supply goes down because of the rig count. Are you saying that that becomes more of a of an opportunity for a large company to look at what King is doing, because supply is down and they want to go and start looking for other projects where they could drill more because they need more, right?
They want to pick up assets that they go, okay, so we're making $1 million a month, let's say, in our production. And they like $1 million a month because of cash flow, but they also know that they can drill 200 wells in the future.
Right.
They know that there's a 45% return, internal rate of return, on 100 locations, because it costs them $6.5 million to drill the well. They'll get 450,000 barrels of oil over time, and at $65 oil, that's 45% internal rate of return. Well, they're buying that from us. And like I said, we don't want to keep it. We want to make sure that they understand it and they like our project and they feel like it's economic. We could put, you know, in Colorado, we could put $65 million, $75 million real easy into a project and get $130, $40 million, you know, this year just by showing the economics of a whole program.
Right.
So, and they can't do that.
Okay.
That's taking a big risk from them.
Right. They want to look at companies like you and what you're doing.
They want the cash flow and they want the locations and they want the acquisitions. That's what they do. They do A&D work. They don't go out and lease the land themselves and put this acreage piece together. What's what we do.
That's what you do.
Exactly.
So when these prices start going up, I'm assuming they have acquisition people that are studying what companies like King are doing in the marketplace around the country.
Absolutely.
For possible acquisitions.
Absolutely.
Then.
We have three projects right now, Scurry County. We have Howard County. We're getting ready to frack that well. And when we frack it, people are going to look at it going, oh my gosh, there's Howard County and what that.
And that's in the Permian Basin for
Permian
the viewers.
Permian Basin, right, exactly. And Permian Basin asset, the Scurry's in Permian, Eastern Shelf Permian. And then the Colorado project. But that's what we do. We like to position these assets to where we can show them to a public company or a larger private company that, hey, it's economic. You want to build a company? You can't go. You're selling that one well. The one well I was talking about earlier. You have $100,000.
You can't build a company like that.
You can't build a company.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to look at one well and go, oh, this well's producing 26 barrels a day. Woohoo! You know, I'm going to buy one well. They're not going to do that.
So I wrote a couple questions down. I was being preparation for your interview in the book. What are some? I know you talk about some of the market indicators for consumers.
Mm-hmm.
What are those? What are market indicators for consumers to watch for in the oil and gas market?
You know, mostly about oil and gas and what's happening overseas. What's the price of oil will dictate what exactly the price of gas will be. You know, so how much driving are you going to do? And you see when gas oil prices go to $100 a barrel, well, then the price of gas at the pump's $4 or $5.
Right.
So they're like, okay, well, we can't go as far as we wanted to. Instead of driving to Iowa, we're driving to Oklahoma. You know, I mean, you know,
because the consumer then has to consider their local economic situation and say, now I might have to pull back on that summer vacation, or we might not be able to drive or take that trip now because, you know, from affordability standpoint.
Yeah. Sometimes it's cheaper to fly.
Yeah.
You know, because some of these big companies hedged, and so they can offer lower fares, you know.
Right. So from being a new author, a Forbes author at that, not everybody can say they're a Forbes author. That's really exciting.
Not many people can say they've been on Times Square.
Yes. So today, so actually Tuesday, because we're here on Thursday night. On Tuesday, Jay's book cover, The Upside of Oil and Gas, has been up on Times Square. So if you're in New York this week and you were there on Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night, you might have seen The Upside of Oil and Gas. That's amazing. I know that your interview with Greg Stebbin, the host of Forbes Radio, aired on Tuesday. It's going to be airing all this week and really this whole week going into the future. I mean, books live forever, which is exciting. And oil and gas is not going anywhere.
Right.
Talk a little bit about the process. Was it intimidating to write a book? You know, it's fun. I'm an author. I did it twice. And when you're in that kind of mad scientist mode where you're writing it and typing it, for me, I kept going, oh, I don't like that word. Let's go back. And what I realized, the best advice I ever got from a guy that did a lot of celebrity ghostwriting books, he's like, just get it out of your... just throw it up all over the page.
Yeah, exactly.
And then go clean it up.
Exactly.
So
yeah, yeah.
What did you feel? What were some of the experiences you had in writing the book?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of was thinking about how do you break it down per chapter and what do you want to get over to the audience? And my big idea was I want to tell people about the upside of oil and gas investing. And there's so many people out there that go, oil and gas investing, yeah, I did that once and I lost all my money, you know.
Right.
Which is true. I mean, there's a lot
there's
of people.
There's a lot of people that say, I had a horrible experience with it. I don't want to do it.
And I think about it all the time. And I wanted people to know, hey, you know what? There's a different way to invest in oil and gas. We've did over 100% returns to one of our projects. Not that we're going to do that every time.
Right.
But, man, if we did it every once in a while, or if we did half that, I mean, on a project, 50%, I mean, that's great returns. But I wanted people to realize that, you know, don't invest in those old ways of investing in that one well, and you're hoping that, man, that one well is going to get you three, four, five times your money, because it's not.
So, really, it's interesting, because in anything in the world, when you look at, you know, the VCR came out, then you go to the DVR, and then you go to all these things. So, really, that's an interesting perspective for the audience, is that oil and gas, the technology changes it, but also the way you invest can change.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people really think about that.
Right.
Because
right.
they think about one and done, but nobody really talks about that there's an upside to oil and gas. So that's why I think the book is so important. And I
right.
think it's going to educate a lot of people
right.
about
exactly.
the industry.
Absolutely. Because if you see it and if you think about it, you go, oh, I invested in oil and gas before. I mean, it's kind of like a lot of things in life, you know, that we think about. We just, you know, it's kind of like I invested in the stock market once. Okay, well, you invested in Exxon compared
you?
To, you know, Nanogen or something. It's,
right.
it's a totally different stock.
Right.
And it's, but this is the same, you know, and I'm not telling everybody to rush to us and put every dollar you have in oil and gas with us. What I'm just saying is quit investing with the old model. If you don't invest with us, that's okay. I mean, I understand you may not like me, cannot connect with me, and you may not like my company, or you liked it when I had a beard and I don't have a beard, or whatever.
Right.
But just don't invest in the old ways, because it just doesn't work and it doesn't make people money.
Yeah.
And the chances are very, very good. If you founded a company like ours, which I don't know if you will, I haven't, but only invest in the ways that give you a shot at making money in the oil and gas business. Do it in a short-term way, like us and our projects, and do it now, because now's the time to do it.
Right. Because now if yesterday we were at $63.05
mm-hmm.
a barrel. If we estimate, to your point earlier, that we may go to $75 a barrel by the end of the year, this is a good time to get in, right?
Exactly.
Because if someone's sitting there going, I want to read Jay's book. Oh, I learned something. Okay, now I want to invest. This is a good time in 2020
right,
to do
exactly.
it.
And don't take all of your money and just a portion of it, diversify, you know, your 1031, we're telling people, you know, 20-30% of your 1031 or some of your IRA money that you have
right.
or you know, just if you're writing a check and you want the tax benefit, you know, whatever. But it's just a good time and a good way to do it short term. That's what we're doing. You know, nobody else will check the boxes like we do.
And that's a good question, because for the viewer right now and says, how can I invest? What are the ways you can invest with King Operating Corporation?
Yes. So you can go to our website, kingoperating.com, or you can go to our page, J.R. Young, J-A-Y-R-Y-O-U-N-G.com.
That's your
book
website.
That's my book website.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can, you know... just call our office here in Dallas. It's 214-420-3000. And I think most of you have my text message. Oh, my gosh, I get a lot of text messages.
Yeah, because you're buzzing all the time. What are the vehicles? Because you talk about 1031. Really quick, tell somebody what a 1031 is if they don't know.
Yeah.
And then a self-directed IRA, mm-hmm. and then versus just giving you the money. Let's kind of break down quickly what those three variables are.
So we had a client that just finished up a 1031. They had $3 million profit. They had an apartment building that they've had for a long time, and they sold it for $13 million. Their cost basis was 10.
Okay.
So they had a $3 million profit.
Okay.
Now, you could take that $3 million and put it in your pocket, or you could do what they call a like-kind exchange.
Well, if they put it in their pocket, they have to pay all those taxes,
exactly,
right?
Exactly,
so that's not, what, 42% or something?
No, 20%.
Oh, okay.
Capital gains, yeah.
Okay.
So you could pay taxes, or you could take that $3 million and you could put it into other like-kind real estate or like ours. You could do royalty. There's energy royalty programs out there, which I don't really recommend because there's no exit.
Okay.
And it's hard to get a return on those royalty programs. I did them 10 years ago and I quit it because the clients just couldn't make money. You know, because there's no scalability, there's no exit, and if oil prices or gas prices go down,
you're stuck. You're it's over.
Yeah. So I love our model because, man, you can go in, we're going to scale it very, very, very quick and sell. Exit. But so that $3 million profit, let's say you find two other buildings, real estate buildings, and you spend $1 million or $2 million with each one. So you spend $2 million with these other buildings, you have $1 million left over, and you want to diversify because maybe you think real estate is up at its high and it's going to go down, and you want to diversify. Well, oil and gas
is
a great
energy,
yeah. And especially right now because of all the different things that are going on in the world.
Well, and you've had a couple for the show. You've had some really great financial minds on the show, from Dory Wiley to Ed Bukowski and several others. And
John Malden.
And John Malden,
who's
of course.
He's in Puerto Rico.
Oh, my gosh, they had an earthquake.
I know. I haven't checked
on
with him.
Tuesday.
Let's
and
do that
so we
the
hope
show.
Any Puerto Rico viewers, we hope that you're okay. We need to
Ben
check
Patton,
with him. No
Matt
doubt.
Patton.
But they've all said on your show, you definitely want to diversify in energy and oil and gas, which is a great affirmation.
Right.
Of that,
it is. It's a great signature. It's something because, but the problem is with the old model. They're like, okay, I like diversification. It makes sense, but I'm not doing oil and gas because I lost my money one time.
Right.
Right. Like people that invested in the stock market once and lost.
But now we got a new way. New model in your book is what you talk about.
And the second thing you're talking about a minute ago, 1031.
Okay.
Or the IRA, there's people sitting with their IRAs. You know, Japan has negative interest rates as Greece does. You know, these have negative interest rates. And the United States is not far from going to negative interest rates.
Right.
So if you have $100,000 or $500,000 in your IRA and you're putting it into CDs, you may be paying them 1%. Instead of paying you $5,000 a year on $500,000, you're paying them five. That's crazy.
Yeah, so now you can diversify and you can put that money
in your IRA.
IRA. Via King Operating's projects now.
Absolutely.
For Larimer.
Absolutely. One reason why I wrote the book. The third way is just writing a check, which is the traditional way that a lot of people do oil and gas. They just go, okay, I like it. I want to do it. How can I invest? And they just write one check, $200,000 or whatever it is, out of their checkbook, and then they give their CPA, they take that off the AGI, your gross income at the end of the year, it lowers it, and you pay less in taxes. And then if you get money back, that's great.
Okay.
A
lot of people, particularly when we were hitting fourth quarter, a lot of people are looking for that tax deduction year end.
Yeah.
But you do have people that quarterly pay taxes, so
absolutely.
They're always looking to try to lower the amount you pay to the government.
Yeah. There may not be a good oil and gas program at the fourth quarter, and if you waited till then, you may have to go, we'll just do this one because it's available.
You can look at your projects all year long.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Because of you, we're not going to have any more product left. You're putting me all over Forbes. I'm on the Times Square thing. I'm all over these places. I'm like, man, we got so many calls.
I need your autograph right now. We need an autograph,
Derek. We're
done.
We don't have more product. If we have no product, then, man, I mean, so we're on to our next one, but it's hard to find assets. So,
you know, one last question, but I'm going to tell everybody where to get the book. How do you see, Jay, climate change impacting oil and gas?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not an expert in climate change, and I don't really understand what, you know, I know that you talk about global warming, you talk about climate change, you talk about all these different things. And
right, what the variables are.
It is so hard to control or predict.
Right.
That it's, you know, just be prepared. That's all you can say, because yeah. No telling what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more heating we need, you know, it's like if we have a real cold winter, you need a lot more natural gas, which comes from stripping it out of the oil a lot, or you have gas wells, you know, which will dictate exactly what the price of gas will be,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's I don't know. And I mean, it's kind of like the presidential elections, you know, it's kind of hard to predict some of these things
yeah.
is going to happen. So
yeah. I think a lot of people too make the mistake. They're too quick to throw climate change or global warming. I mean, but if you really, that's a whole nother subject to try to break that down. But
Al Gore and the internet. He also did the.
That's right. If you're going to say 10 years from now, where do you see oil and gas? Or is that a question that you really can't answer because there's so many variables today?
Well, I mean, you see the Teslas, you see the electric car. Well, they're great cars. I mean, my friend picked me up. I was in Hong Kong, and he picked me up out front in this brand new Tesla. And I hadn't seen one.
They're beautiful.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable.
It's like a laptop in your screen in the car.
It is, yeah.
It's like, I see these. It's like a 42-inch television
exactly.
right there in your console.
Do I drive one? No. I want to suck up as much oil as possible, right? So. We're not going there yet, but you know all these cars.
It wouldn't go well for you to be driving a Tesla right now. No?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
But so what we you know, so 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, I can see the demand for oil coming down. You know, the problem is we have so many more people.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness!
So
yeah.
So demand per person will go down because you're not using as much oil and gas. Or gasoline, but you know what? If we have more people, and if this United States, we have 300 million people. If you have 350 million more people in 10 years, but they're using less oil, you're still using that much oil.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, and two, I don't want to. Not that I don't want to predict that, but I don't want to say, hey, you know what? You need to invest long term in oil and gas. I'll never say that.
Right. Why do you never say that?
Because it's not a good long-term investment. You'll have such swings in the oil and gas business. That's why we can make 300%. That one project, if we'd have sold a third of the asset, we gave clients back 100%, 130%. If we'd have sold the whole thing, it'd have been 300% returns. You can't do that in a year, right? It's hard to do that.
It's hard to know where the market will be too.
Exactly.
Because of something happening.
Yeah. And you can't do that five-year, 10-year
right.
hold or something.
Right.
And I don't want to do it. I want to pick up assets real cheap, like I'm doing right now, get it going, and then sell it and make a good multiple on clients' money.
Yeah. Your book, I already know that if you go to kingoperating.com or to jryoung.com, you can download a free chapter. It's really a great read. This book is very easy to read. You wrote it really simplistically, so people go, oh my gosh, oil and gas investments, I don't do numbers. But you don't write your book like that. It's really well done. It's very simplistic in the way that you tell it, and it's almost like you're sitting there with you having a cup of coffee and you're telling your story.
Exactly.
So it's great.
My daughter said the same thing. She's like, I said, have you read my book yet? And she said, I'm not going to read about oil and gas. I don't understand anything about oil and gas. I said, no, just start reading the first chapter.
Right.
It's about my family.
And
it's
did she read it? Did
no.
she start? Oh.
Not yet. Not yet.
We'll
it just came out.
Yeah,
so
get her work on it.
Yeah.
So where can you get the book? You can go to jryoung.com. You can go to kingoperating.com. You can get a free chapter of the book. You can also go to Amazon. You can download this on your Kindle. You can download it on your iPhone. You can also go to Books A Million or BarnesandNoble.com. All of the retailers that sell books will have the book, and we're going to be sharing more and more updates with you on what's going on in the industry, what's going on with the state of Iran. You're going to be on some radio shows, which will be great. So you're definitely going to be seeing the book out there. It was fun flipping the mic today. So congratulations again on the book.
Thank you.
And,
thank you. Thanks for your help.
We look forward to watching it sales. Bloom.
It sells bloom and people getting involved in oil and gas and not wanting to participate in the old model. That's the major reason why I want to write the
Looking
book.
Looking at it on a fresh
Bam!
Perspective.
Bam, right? I mean, just what my guy was saying is that, man, you know, the the guy with Advantage, you know, they were like, and Corey and those, and Harper and Adam Witte, which I need to thank all these people. You know, it was a major because they were like, Jay, to get out there and tell people there's a difference. There's a way to do it different. The only way to do it is go big.
Yeah.
You know, and so we wanted to go big and tell people.
You can't get any bigger than Forbes.
You can't get any bigger than Forbes, right?
That's
Steve
awesome.
Forbes is a great guy. I look forward to, you know, talking with him again. I've met him, talked to him, and great guy, and man, what a great mind, you know.
Yeah.
And to get out there with these kind of people in this arena, it just takes you to a new level.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So the atmosphere and the assets that we're doing are really, really good. And that's why people need to read the book, understand it. If you don't read the book, that's okay. Just call me and participate in Oil and Gas because you need to.
Yeah. KingOperating.com, JRYoung.com. Thanks for tuning in tonight. And Jay will be back behind the mic next week. Have a great week.